Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I am JP Mosier.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
I am doing fantastic. Surprise, folks. It's Rivalry Week.
Yes, it is.
Oh, and we are surprising you and the world with a rivalry.
That's right.
So those that have follow the show for a while. We do these rivalries where we pick a song that I love and Rob hates, or we'll pick one that Rob loves and I hate, and we battle it out.
Yeah.
Well, this week, it's us against the world.
Yeah, it is.
Here's a song that the world loves that we hate.
Yeah.
So we are tagging up together. Tag team, I'm tapping you in. Rob, talk a little about what we're doing, what we're talking about. Run with it for a minute.
All right, here we go. We're going to talk about every possible version of this song, all 400. You love it. We hate it. This is You Raise Me Up. Ugh, I'm already sad.
We could do a whole episode on why I hate this intro.
This
it's everything I hate about the sucky Titanic song, but slower.
This isn't even a sad song, but it makes me sad. Oh my gosh.
No!
It already feels like the movie should be over. Oh, brother.
We don't even have to hear anymore. We're good.
No, so, let's go.
Okay, you're good.
We might as well. If you've never heard this song before,
you are lucky.
Soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders.
All right.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. I can't do the key change. Let's not. All right. That is You Raise Me Up. That's the Josh Groban version. But let me be clear. We freaking hate them all.
Everyone.
There's not like a preferred version of this song. That was written by Brendan Graham and Rolf. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play
his name,
the pronunciation of how to pronounce this name, because it's got one of those, I don't know what you call the O with the line through it that you see in a lot of like Nordic languages and stuff like that.
Just say no to this song.
It looks like Loveland, but I know the O is not pronounced that way. So here is, I believe, the pronunciation of it. This is what I found online.
Rolf Løvland.
Okay, that is how to pronounce his name. Boom. One more time.
Rolf Løvland.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm going to call him Rolf Loveland because that's the closest I can get, but it's Wolf Loveland, something like that. So written by them, originally released by Rolf's Irish-Norwegian duo Secret Garden from the 2002 Secret Garden album Once in a Red Moon. If you want to hear a little bit of that, too bad. I was hoping that, like,
he like was gonna do it, yeah. And then I was wet, and then he stopped.
I was like, I can't bring myself to do it. It's the same. They're all the same. Yeah. They're all the exact same. I was hoping You know, sometimes you hear a song that you're like, I don't like it. And you go back and you find like the original version.
You're like, okay, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But so they're all awful.
I was hoping that the original version might have something to do, you know, might have something to it that the version that I know, don't. But it doesn't. I had to go get a flu shot to keep from getting sick.
I'll tell one thing. So we just played the Josh Groban version. So that's in my head. That song's at 59 beats per minute.
That's slow.
It's stupid slow.
Very slow. Yeah.
So my challenge was, can I find another song that's good at 59 beats
okay
minute.
A song so, that you do
a
like
a song that I love
yeah
and I found one
okay
and I listened back to the only one I like at 59 BPM is Lenny by SRV so that's at 59 okay. But that's just because it's Stevie Ray Vaughan and it's completely different
okay
which makes me believe 59 BPM is the worst BPM in the history of music so there's point one
it's very difficult to keep a good thing going at 59 beats a minute Yeah. Okay. So the secret.
But if you guys need a palate cleanser, listen to Lenny. You'll be
there.
Okay
you go.
With it.
There you go. Yeah. If you're like, this is my walking tempo. If you're doing like water aerobics, maybe 59 beats a minute could be like
If they sent you this as a template, like I need you to do water aerobics, and this you're like crap.
Yeah.
You can play Lenny and get.
Yeah. Play
it.
Lenny. Like I need to do jumping jacks underwater, and I need a tempo track for it. I can just see people like crying in the pool. So the Secret Garden version originally was a minor hit in the UK, and that band Secret Garden actually wrote the 95 Eurovision contest winner with a song called Nocturne. They've sold millions of albums worldwide. And the Eurovision contest is something we really haven't talked about a ton. We've mentioned it.
The Will Ferrell movie and everything. For
yeah, it's an interesting concept, and I just don't know much about it. I've never really like keyed into it. You know?
If we do an ABBA episode, but I'm sure it'll come up.
There you go. The vocalist on the original version by Secret Garden is neither of the members of Secret Garden. It's a guy named Brian Kennedy, who is a Northern Irish singer with a couple of charting songs in the UK. The song itself has been recorded by over 125 artists. Several of which have charted, and I think I saw the number 400 thrown around, but I think that is counting like live covers and everything, but it's been recorded, it's been cut by over 125 artists, which
I mean, it's been done on every one of those Voice, you know, American Idol, all that show.
For sure. Yeah. So here's a few charting versions of it. Daniel O'Donnell, his version hit number 22 in the UK. The Christian group Selah hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot Christian Songs chart. This makes total sense to me. AC Christian Radio loves a song that sounds like it came from a sweatshirt at Walmart. It was nominated.
Dude, every video. So that being said, with that concept, if you go like on YouTube, because that's where I like, yeah, every other one is a picture of, is like a Jesus video,
yeah,
with this song.
Yeah, which is one of the things that I hate the most, yeah, about this song, actually. You know, these songs, we've talked a little bit about like songs that are so nonspecific that you could use them about just a regular person or Jesus,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
without like saying anything. It's like, I just don't like that to begin with. Yeah. And this is like the ultimate example of that, like, right? Like, don't sing this song to Jesus. Just don't.
Yeah.
Jesus did more than that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
He's got a lot better grammar, too. And we'll talk about that in the lyrical section. And the reason we got actually hooked on to doing this song is from the episode we did with Robin Crystal, where she was talking about, didn't she do this at a church?
Probably, yes. We've both had to sing this at multiple like weddings or whatever.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the ones that she had to sing at her wedding, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. We're just like, that song is disgusting.
This song's awful.
Yeah, it's every time I've ever had to sing this song, every time anybody's ever had to sing this song, you just have to like swallow it down. You're like, you really want this at your thing? Like, whether it's wedding, funeral, whatever, you know.
Bar mitzvah. Sorry, I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. It's just, just awful. Let's see. A group called Westlife in the UK had a number one hit with You Raise Me Up. And of course, Josh Groban's, which we'll dig into a little bit more in just a minute. The song started as a musical piece by Rufus, and he asked songwriter Brendan Graham to add lyrics. Brendan Graham is a famous Irish writer of both song and prose, and he's written two Eurovision winners for Ireland, Rock and Roll Kids and The Voice, not to be confused with You're the Voice, which is not
John
Matt,
Farnham.
John Farnham.
There we go.
He's also written several tracks.
Which is a great song.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we got to do that song. He's also written several tracks for Celtic Woman, who also have a popular version of You Raise Me Up. Theirs is probably like the third or maybe fourth one that comes up. The Josh Groban version went to number one on the U.S. Adult Contemporary chart, number 73 on the Hot 100, earned him a 2005 Grammy nomination for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance.
I don't know why the way you rolled that out, you're going to say earned him a 2000. I thought you were going to be like, earned him a 2005 Pontiac G6.
Like he just won on The Price is Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were getting.
No, for Best Pop Male Vocal Performance. Believe it or not, that Grammy went to John Mayer for Daughters.
Really?
Daughters won Best Male Pop Vocal Performance.
Yes.
It's like...
I don't think of John Mayer as a vocalist much. He's good.
He's a great singer. But like,
if you put those two side by side, who's going to win a pop vocal contest?
There you go. Yeah. That John Mayer beat Josh Groban for Best Male Pop contest. Vocal. Yeah. It was the number 10 AC song of 2004 was Groban's version. I'll give you that... AC top 10 for that year real quick. It's pretty interesting. You Raise Me Up, number 10. Number 9, Calling All Angels by Train. Number 8, Unwell by Matchbox 20. Number 7, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Michael McDonald. It seemed kind of weird.
What year is that?
2004. I don't know. Oh. Was there a re-release of it or something? Or a 25th anniversary kind of? I don't know. Number 6, this one's for the girls, Martina McBride. Number 5, Forever and For Always by Shania Twain. Number 4, Drift Away, the Uncle Cracker version featuring Dobie Gray. Number 3, 100 Years by Five for Fighting, alum of the show. Number 2, First Cut is the Deepest by Sheryl Crow. And number 1, this is the perfect, absolutely, this was the number 1 adult AC song of that year, White Flag by Dido.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that's as AC as it gets, right? It's funny. It's funny because doing the research, it sounds like basically... for the Josh Groban version, David Foster heard the song and he wanted to produce a version of it, and he just kind of picked Josh Groban to give it to. Not that Groban was looking for a song, uh-huh. And he's like, I heard this song. But Foster is big enough that he just chose Josh Groban as the vessel through which to pour his genius.
So we should love this because we love David Foster.
Yeah, David Foster's great. We've covered several songs that he's been a part of, and he's obviously a genius, yep. And, you know, whatever. But, man, it's not the production. It's not Josh Groban.
It's the song.
It's the freaking song.
It's like, just such a bad song. I'm so glad you said that. Like, and Josh Groban's got a voice that the guy can sing. I don't like his voice, yeah. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, but he's good. Like, I ain't hating on Josh Groban.
Yeah,
it's just he picked this crappy song.
Groban's a funny. He didn't even pick it. David Foster picked him
for it. And he's funny, right? He's been on those shows.
Groban's funny. He's been on, like, The Office, and he's a good, he used to be, I don't know if he's still on there, a good follow on Twitter. He's a funny guy. And, yeah, it was just like David Foster went, I'm going to take you to the top, boy. You know what I mean? And Groban's like, all right, fine, let's go. Let's grab this song. And it worked. Here's a sentence with three things that don't seem to go together. Ready? Josh Groban performed You Raise Me Up at Super Bowl 38 in a special NASA commemoration for the crew of the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster. That sentence is full of surprises, let me just tell you.
Let's go football.
Yeah, first of all, like, you're like, yeah, let's get, you know, you go from it's Hank super, Williams, you know, all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
Here's Josh Groban at halftime.
When I am done. Like, what? And then it's like, and then they're showing, like, the Challenger exploding. What? Like... And that's, first of all, that's a bit literal. Like, you raise me up, the Challenger. But then the Challenger exploded on the way
it
up.
Does, yeah.
Like, what the crap? I get it. It's inspiration. It's there whatever. That seems like a disaster. I don't remember that at all.
Me neither.
But I'm like, and I don't want to watch it because then I have to hear the song again and relive the Challenger explode. I'm sorry, the Columbia.
Columbia.
Wait, the Challenger exploded. What happened to the Columbia? Oh, no.
That's one that didn't get off the ground. I don't think it got off the platform.
All right. I'm going to look at this because I don't want to be offensive about the Columbia. So let's at least get the disaster right.
That's fine. The Challenger was when we were in elementary
school.
And
that's what I was thinking. The Columbia.
I think that's the one that didn't get off the.
Let's see. Okay. Okay. So that was in 2003. The Space Columbia disintegrated as it re-entered the atmosphere over Texas, killing all seven astronauts on board. So equal disaster, mm-hmm. but for some reason the Columbia was not. I was thinking Challenger for some reason. I was like, why are they still talking about the Challenger in 2004?
Yeah.
It wasn't an anniversary or something, so that was even more confusing. Okay, at least it was timely. At least that. And I don't mean to make light of the Columbia disaster, for sure. I just mean that sentence really threw me for a loop. That's all I'm saying.
More so about the football.
Why at the football? Why at the Super Bowl?
Football game.
It was like, I don't really understand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's basically my take on the song.
Okay.
Okay. This is what I hate about it. It's schlocky, syrupy, emotional, Christmas shoes level drivel, right? Yeah. It's the worst kind of manipulative eighth grade graduation music I can possibly imagine. It's not good sentimental. Yeah. We love good sentimental, man. Right?
Last week, we just had Andy Gullihorn, who's the king of sentimental.
Yeah, exactly. Ben Rector, that's absolutely great sentimental.
Love that.
This is awful, fake, put-on sentimental, right? This is like the fake nails of sentimental.
Yeah.
It's like somebody took Wind Beneath My Wings, The Rose, and I Hope You Dance, and threw them all together in a blender, and this is the milkshake that came out that makes me so farty and bloated I have to stay inside for the rest of the day. All right?
Yeah.
That
is it.
That is my... That's encapsulated analysis.
That's perfect. And that'll transition well into the first scene of the video because it's downright vomit worthy. He slow rises from the couch like I do when I have to crap in the middle of my favorite TV show. And I'm like, ugh. So this song is like Taco Bell. It raises me up off the couch when I'm watching SportsCenter and I have to pause it to go take a fatty.
I gotta tell you, this has really brought out some good writing from us.
Okay, lyrically. Let's talk a little bit about the lyrics.
All right.
When I'm down and myself so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, what the heck kind of grammar is that?
Yeah, that's trying to sound poetic, right? But if you switched it around to where you would, you know, if you kind of unravel that old English, it's still wrong.
Yeah.
It should be, and my heart is burdened.
Is burdened.
Right? Not my heart be burdened.
Be burdened.
When my heart be burdened.
Yeah, if you're going to do my heart burdened is if you want to be.
Then you got to finish the line.
That's right.
Until you come and sit a while with Gliz, you know, whatever, that you need a different rhyme there.
Yeah.
That means me. I don't know what word that could be. Maybe that's why they didn't use
the right word.
That's
why they went with B. All right. So, worst chorus in history. Here we go. Here's why. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains.
Okay.
Are you trying to kill me?
Right.
I can barely stand, and then you go put me on top of a mountain
where I can't breathe and I might fall and die. Yeah.
You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely trying to kill me. You want me to walk on a stormy sea. Two people have done it, Peter and Jesus.
Right.
And I'm neither of those. I'm strong when I'm on your shoulders. Not even possible. If for some reason I became stronger on your shoulders, my walking would be impeded. There's no way you could be stronger.
I've got no base.
That's right.
I got no...
It's like chicken in the swimming pool. You're much stronger on the ground.
You're much stronger on the ground. I got no trunk.
Okay. You raised me up to more than I can be. Obviously, I'm pretty weak sauce if that's the case. So, like, that's lyrically just slop.
It's true. We've talked about how I think the worst stanza in all of rock music history is Bon Jovi at the beginning of Always, right? Because of all the mixed metaphors.
All the analogies,
that's what this is, right?
Yeah,
this is all just a bunch of just low-hanging fruit mixed like those metaphors aren't even low-hanging fruit. They're dead fruit, right? They're touching the ground, withered, sour fruit.
Yeah.
It's just so easy, right?
Yeah.
And look, listen. God bless the people that wrote this, right? I'm super happy for them. I'm glad. And I respect the other work you've done.
Uh-huh.
This song can kick rocks. This song should not have been made. If you're listening and this song has like helped you through something, or if it memorialized a parent or something like that, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. If we lose listeners over this, I don't even care anymore. This song is awful, and I don't care what it means to you, okay? Pick a better song.
Our Patreon just got cut in half.
Okay.
52 seconds. Speaking of simple, low-hanging fruit, let's talk about the piano part at 52 seconds.
Sure.
Super creative. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, come on. David Foster. Come on, man.
Maybe Josh Groban. I've never heard him play piano. Maybe
he sucks at piano.
Maybe they're like, hey, we wrote something for you.
Man, yeah.
There it is.
Some say love.
Exactly. Dude, right? It's perfect.
Napoleon Dynamite. yeah. So, okay, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. I said it was like a crap milkshake made from these other songs. It's really just like somebody ran the classic Irish folk song Danny Boy through a washing machine where every bit of character and genuine emotion was beat out of it. Okay. Let's hear Danny Boy.
Okay.
And at least we're going to play the Johnny Cash version. So at least we can play something good today. Okay. All right. So listen to this melody. Okay. And listen to the cadence of this song. Listen to everything about it. This is You Raise Me Up. As it should be.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses fallen. It's you, must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
And it's not that that's super production, it's organ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And delivery.
So like the
cadence.
That song is great.
Yeah.
Danny Boy is a legit worldwide classic.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a hymn. You know what I mean? It's just this thing that will live forever. It's Danny Boy.
Do you remember the Saved by the Bell Artie Boy that they do?
No.
Oh, Artie Boy, the bugs are buzzing.
Oh, wow.
There's gnats and ants, mosquitoes on the something, and they'll be there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh.
In that big chameleon banquet in the sky. Is that what
it
was?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Core memory unlocked. So, but anyway, you hear You Raise Me Up in Danny Boy, right? You can't not hear it. It's there. And so here's the, I'll qualify that. So, you know, I get a thing stuck up my craw about songs that borrow heavily from other songs, like the Kid Rock song that's Sweet Home Alabama all summer long, you know, all that stuff. So to literally just like lift a lot from Danny Boy.
It's like for it to come Danny out. Boy raised me. Like.
Literally, this song doesn't succeed without Danny Boy.
Yeah.
If there is no Danny Boy, this song doesn't do anything because it never exists.
But we don't mind Hook by Blues Traveler because it is leaning into that as part of the joke.
Exactly.
And part of the land.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, so this, like, if you're going to take it and like do something with it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But this is like, I just want to write a sucky version of Danny Boy. Call it my own.
Yeah, and
lean on it, you know, capitalize on this feeling.
Emotion. Yeah.
Ew, that's disgusting. Okay. So like, and I'll say this, Danny Boy is public domain. Uh-huh. Okay. Which means it's not wrong to borrow. Yeah. It's not like against
anybody
the
can
law.
Cover Danny Boy and not have to worry about royalties or anything.
Yes. So on that level, you're playing by the rules. Mm-hmm. You're fine. But it's just against my code. To do this with Danny Boy is just wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so not only that, but You Raise Me Up probably also borrows heavily from an Icelandic song called, let me just play you, I can't, there's no way I can pronounce this.
Sjöknudr.
Sjöknudr. It looks like, I'll just try and spell it a little bit. It's S, O with an umlaut, K, N, U, O with a thing above it that I don't even know what it is. Another U and an R, okay? And it's pronounced
Sjöknudr
by composer Johan Helgeson, okay? And so I'll play you a little bit of that now, and I'm going to play you an English translation of it, okay? So that you can...
Most of our listeners speak English.
Most of our listeners are English speaking. I know we literally have some like Nordic, you know, listeners, but I'm going to go ahead and play you an English translation. This was 1977 originally. Originally, not this version. So I'll tell you this. According to Variety, Helgeson claimed that Lövland would have had access to this song during his multiple visits to Iceland in the 1990s. As it was then used as the boarding music on Iceland Air.
Okay.
Okay. So Helgeson also claimed that the melody of You Raise Me Up was directly lifted from this song.
Are you sure?
You listen and be the judge.
Basically, I mean, it's already that, right? Oh.
Alone and weak,
oh, come on.
I need someone to hold me. Alone and lost.
Oh, goodness. It's not even like
beside me with you I'm more than I can be.
What?
Steven.
It's the
dude.
Is that insane? Like
that's nuts.
That's the one chord change
like that chord
that's different.
Okay, so stop. That's
what,
like, if somebody gave somebody a soundtrack to You Raise Me Up, but they didn't know the words. And they're like, just go in there and sing something about this and just kind of run with it.
They're trying to, like, Leslie Nielsen it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Frank Drebin. It's Frank Drebin.
That's right.
Saying You Raise Me Up.
Yes,
that's,
Frank Drebin's national anthem version of You Raise
that's
Me
good.
Up.
That's great.
Yeah. And so here's what happened. The Performing Rights Society of Iceland analyzed both songs and found a 97% similarity between them, stating that the songs are, quote, musically identical except for just two notes. That's probably that one chord, you know. A U.S. district court, however, sided with Secret Garden, the original writers, saying that while the songs were similar, it was not similar enough as a matter of law to constitute a claim. This is from Wikipedia. And that Helgeson's work likely borrowed some itself from Danny Boy and other folk tunes to begin with, making any similarity a moot point. In other words, this song sounds like Danny Boy to begin with, and yeah, your song sounds like this song, but they said basically that the analysis by the Icelandic Performing Rights Society and the person that they used as an expert witness or as an expert musicologist, they need Mosier on that panel, but they said basically you're attributing similarity where there really is none. They're saying like this uses this note and this one also uses this note, but they're not really in the same place. You know what I mean? That's like, okay, this uses an F sharp, yeah, and this also uses an F sharp, but it's not in the same
measure
spot. But you're calling that a similarity, and you're saying they're
97% similar.
Just hear
the chords. So, I mean, and the melody's so similar.
It sounds to me like maybe their expert witness tried to overdo it,
yeah.
And in overdoing it, probably blew their chance at winning that. Because that sounds like a very winnable argument to
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Now, I get the thing about them saying that, like, they're both lifted from Danny Boy.
I feel like
for
I
sure.
could, I feel, and that's, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like I could pose a setup. Like, I feel like I could phrase this in a way. Go back and listen to some of our other rivalry episodes and see the way we set ourselves up.
Yeah.
Me and Rob could go in there and win this case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Okay. At this point, I think maybe let's meet. Do we have a meet the band?
We can meet the band. Okay. Let's meet them.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right, so we're going to meet the band. There's so many different versions and so many different bands.
We're talking about all of them.
So I went, I'm just going to do a little meet the band on the video.
Okay.
I was going to bash on
the video.
On the video. So I was going to assign each of these people a fake name and an alter ego, but I'm just going to hit some highlights. All right. They seem like nice people.
This is the Josh Groban video.
So I was going to name all the violin girls, and there's one that's holding a trumpet that never plays it, and there's a quick swiveling head harp lady. Over-exaggerated electric guitar guy playing the wrong finger position on chord, and the video guy blurred out Paul Rudd looking bass player dude in the back. But they all started to get kind of mean, so we'll just stop there.
Okay.
So that's our version of meet
all
the
right
band.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
We'll keep it nice
because we're not here again. We're not here to bash Josh Groban.
No,
right. We're not here to bash Celtic Woman. We just think this is an awful song.
We could talk about the bad bagpipe meets violin solo or whatnot. That's but it's the song.
It's the
not
song.
The version.
It's not Groban's fault. You know, it's not even David Foster's fault. He just capitalized on something that he knew would make people cry. Yeah. That's it. Like, that's all. It's you made, this is the, like...
Every note at the bottom of the video summarizes what they were trying to do. They're all, when I'm at my lowest point, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what every comment says on there. So
And again, if that was you... I'm sorry.
He was making a joke and making light of it. We could have found a different one.
But you should have found a better song. Okay.
Stump the Genius. I do have that.
Okay.
So let's play Stump the Genius.
Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. It's time to stump the Genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. All right. So I started with Famous Falls. That's what I was going to go with because you raised me. I was going to try to do some sort of fall.
Okay.
That would be a funny play on words.
Okay.
So then I went famous, but all the falls I was finding was like Niagara Falls, Angel Falls, and that was just a boring Stump the Genius.
Ruby Falls.
Nobody cared about that. Exactly. So I'm going famous fails.
I thought you meant like famous times that people
have
fell.
Fallen.
Yeah.
I was going with that.
Okay.
And then, but that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
But everything I kept looking up kept taking me back to like waterfalls.
Okay.
And so I was like, that's kind of boring.
Reichenbach Falls, Sherlock Holmes.
There you go. Right. So I went famous fails. So here's a time where people failed, and we're just going to tie it into some trivia.
Is this about our John Mayer episode?
No, that's changing. Yeah, right. Okay, question one. Here we go. A Time to Kill, famous by novel John Grisham, was rejected 28 times.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that for a failure?
Dang.
One of these actors is not in the movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Time
I've
to
seen
kill.
The movie Time to Kill.
I have not seen the movie.
One of these actors.
I've seen the poster. I guess.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey. Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
One of them is not in the movie.
I think that's going to have to be Nicolas Cage.
That is Nicolas Cage. Correct. That's for you, Crystal. So number one, we got one. Number two, Henry Ford's first two automobiles companies failed.
Okay.
So before he made Ford, he made two automobile companies.
What did he name them?
That failed. I don't know, right? Always go with the name, right? Yeah. Stick with your last name. Okay. Which of these is not a Ford?
Okay.
Pinto.
Okay.
FXR.
All right.
Fiesta.
Okay.
Focus.
Yeah, that'd be a FXR.
FXR.
Yeah.
That's a Suzu. Good job. Number three. Elvis was fired from the Grand Ole Opry and told back to go back to truck driving.
Mm.
Which of these Elvis hits did he write? He only wrote one of these.
Okay.
All Shook Up.
Okay.
Jailhouse Rock.
Uh-huh.
Hound Dog.
Uh-huh.
Blue Suede Shoes.
Okay. I'm guessing here. An informed guess. I'm going to guess All Shook Up.
There
we go.
Nicely done. Informed guess. How did you lean into that?
Well, I knew he didn't write Blue Suede Shoes.
Okay.
I was almost positive he didn't write Hound Dog.
Yeah.
And then the other two, it was a 50-50.
Good job. Did I not do question five or it didn't print? Okay, I got it. Okay. Question four.
Need me to fax it to you?
No, it's good. Right. Here we go. Question four. Colonel Sanders was rejected 1,000 times before finding a KFC franchise.
Holy cow.
1,000 times. What's Colonel Sanders' first name?
Golly, I would have given up so much longer. I can guess this without multiple choice.
The hint.
I believe it is Harlan.
Harlan! Harlan. Hey, look now. At that. I was going Harlan, Henry, Harrison, Harold.
Let's
Harlan.
Talk. Let's just be serious. I know fried chicken.
Dude, 4 for 4.
Yeah. Let's
Can
go.
He sweep the category?
Let's
here we go.
I'm raising my season average here.
Walt Disney.
Coming on fast.
Was fired from a newspaper saying he lacked creativity.
Okay.
Which of these is not a Disney movie?
Okay. Okay.
Rocketeer.
Okay.
Oliver and Company.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Okay.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That would be Mr. Holland's Opus, not
no,
a Disney.
Mr. Holland's Opus is a Disney movie.
It's, okay, okay.
Fantastic Mr.
Fantastic
Fox.
Mr. Fox? Wow.
How about that? I got one.
Wow.
80%. How about that?
Robert? Is that the one with the, not Don Rickles. What's his name?
I don't freaking, know.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. It's on like the Disney Plus.
I don't know.
Holy cow.
Mr. Holland's Opus, though. There
wow.
You go.
That's crazy.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Come Maybe on. I'm thinking of something else. All right. Maybe, right. Mr. Holland's Opus was a,
it's
Disney,
a Disney movie.
Movie.
How about that?
I had no idea.
The things you learn. The more you learn.
Dang. That was wild.
Yeah. I've okay. not got much.
I felt so confident.
I know. I
felt
you were rolling.
So confident.
80%. And he was cruising along. He's like, Mr. Holland's Opus.
Bam.
There
you
go.
Okay.
There we go.
Right.
You raised me. I lowered you down.
You lowered me down. That's right. all right. One more note on that lawsuit. The You Raise Me Up case was one of several in 2020 that kind of pushed back against. By the way, that's when the U.S. District Court, it like 2004, the song came out, but the lawsuit in the U.S. was much later. But it was one in 2020 that kind of pushed back against the wave of cases like the Marvin Gaye estate suing Robin Thicke over Blurred Lines.
Okay.
And the other thing, they sued Marvin Gaye sued somebody over something else immediately
was
thereafter.
Was
it like who?
I thought it was an Ed Sheeran thing. Maybe not.
It was. It was Ed Sheeran over, what's the song? Oh, my gosh. Hold on. We found love right where we are. What is that song? Baby, now take me into your loving arms. What is it called? When your legs don't work like they used to before. Anyway, whatever the crap that song is called, it said it sounded like Let's Get It On. Yeah, same lawsuit. But the Robin Thicke case over Blurred Lines, claiming that it was stolen from Marvin Gaye's song, Got to Give It Up. That case was won by the Gaye estate, and it was the lawyer behind that suit who was tapped by Johan Helgeson to sue Secret Garden.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, I got this,
yeah,
you know, for
this.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it seemed like at a certain point, the courts decided, no, we're just not going to allow this to this degree. Okay, they were like, this stops here, or this is going to be an every month
Everybody,
thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have somebody coming after, you know. And they had just decided, I think, before this, to overturn the judgment initially that was against Katy Perry for Dark Horse. I don't know if you remember that, but there was like a $2 million settlement over that song. They overturned that and said, no, just kidding. We're not going to make you pay that about Dark Horse. And so this came kind of following after that. Just a couple more notes for me. I don't know what else you have. If you got more, Secret Garden reminds me of Savage Garden, which is never going to help anyone. And NME, the website NME, on its list of worst songs of the 2000s, called this song "The Sound of Slipping into a Coma."
Oh God!
So yeah, there we go. I think that's kind of all I have.
There's some really bad ones out there. For the sake, you guys just go find the worst. Send us the worst ones.
Yeah, send us the worst one you can find.
Please send us the one of the bride walking down the aisle singing an acapella is really bad.
Woof.
But y'all find us some good ones, some good bad ones.
Yeah. What's funny is, you know, most of the versions of this song are done by people who can sing perfectly fine. It's not about the vessel. It truly is not.
it's
the about
word.
The song, you know? It's really just, we just hate this song a whole bunch. And truly, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to put a punchline at the end of it. Truly, if I offended you earlier when I was talking about, you know, whatever, I understand. Music connects with people in weird ways, and it helps them through you know, bad things. I don't like this song. If this song is truly part of your life, and I hope I didn't offend
you.
It was
all
earlier.
In good fun.
This is all in good fun.
He didn't
like,
mean anything
we
by it.
Actually hate this song, but of course, we love you guys.
Absolutely.
And if this song is part of your life, then that's perfectly fine. You do your thing, and don't worry about my opinion. That being said,
next week we're finishing it off with a bang.
Yes.
Next week will be a normal episode where we are back to
we are
gushing over things we love about an artist.
Yeah. We are going to we're going to talk about so much music next week. It's going to be just insane.
Buckle in. We intentionally left out a lot of music this week because this song is trash.
Yeah.
But next week, we're going to play so many good songs.
Yeah. It was nice to do a rivalry week where we didn't have to go at each other.
Exactly.
Right? Like, we don't even
we're
have to.
We're just against the world.
Yeah.
We're together at this.
We don't even have to make up after this, you know? It's going to be great. So, all right. We'll see you guys next week for the season finale of season 10 of the Great Song Podcast. Until then, oh wait, do something for me though real quick before we finish. Go to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Great Song Pod. Give us that follow. Make sure you're subscribing on your podcast platform
of
choice.
There's gonna be somebody that's like, I'm gonna give these guys a chance. I like you, raise me up. Let's see what they've got.
That's right. Somebody was like, oh, I can't wait for somebody to defend this song.
I know, and right? Then, I want to get on one of these guys' sides.
I really expect one. At least one nasty email, voicemail, or comment over something we've said today. I really do expect one, right? But hey, if this was your thing and you just loved this episode, if you're like, I can't wait for
something to
trash.
What if it's just a bunch of Icelandic stuff sent to us that we have to run through the translator?
Yep, Google Translate, yep. If you loved this and you're like, I want to support this and more, you can go to patreon.com/greatsongpod and become a producer of the show. And if you decide to become a producer at any level, you'll get bonus goodies from us as a way of saying thank you. Ad-free shows, early release, extra shows that you can't get anywhere else, plus our second podcast, The Catch Up with Rob and JP, every week during the season, every weekend, I should say, during the season. And thank you guys so much for listening, for being a part of what we do here, and for allowing us to bring it to you every week. It's truly an honor. Even if you love this song, there'll be something down the line. We'll make it up to you somewhere. All right.
Let us know. We'll send you a sticker.
There you go. We'll send you. That's right. If you are truly offended, send us a note and we'll send you a sticker as our way of saying we're sorry.
With a good song to go with it.
As a bandage to heal our relationship.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you next week for the season finale of season 10 on the Great Song Podcast. Until then, I'm Rob.
I'm JP.
Go listen to some music.